And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development here in Frankfort, Indiana, which is the county seat of Clinton County. We welcome you, and always exciting to talk to you about entrepreneurialism, education, entertainment, empowerment, encouragement, you know, all those things that make a community go, the e-tributes, we like to say, in a community. I know that folks have already gotten on to me, though. No, Shannon, it's attributes. No, we call them e-tributes because they're the E factor in a community that helps us. And it helps us with economic development. Our elected officials work hard each and every day to bring opportunity into our community along with our educators. So we think it is the E factor, and we like to talk about those things that make a community happen regarding just that, the E factor. And so welcome, and we are so excited today to have Charna Virtue on the program. I hope I got your name right this time, Charna.
You did. Thank
okay, because I've said Charna many times, and I know you said people do that.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that we get it right. Charna is a longtime friend here in Clinton County in this community. Have been involved in accounting, and you've got a variety of different or various background. But you recently have moved into real estate, and it's been a little bit entrepreneurial for you because this is new territory.
It is new territory, and it's exciting to learn. I think at any age you can learn anything you want to do, and this is definitely exciting, and I've been meeting a lot of new people, and I can't wait to meet more.
Well, you're with Berkshire Hathaway, the real estate company that I think you're basically based out of Lafayette right now, correct? The offices are out of Lafayette, Indiana?
That's correct.
And but you're regional. I mean, you can pretty much do and go about where you need to go to make a sale or to close a deal or to show a home, whatever the case may be. Is that the way it works?
That is the way it works.
Let's talk a little bit about real estate overall, especially in our region right now. And we're Clinton County is kind of a hybrid of being in the Kokomo, Indianapolis, and Lafayette region. We're right in the middle of the triangle, which is good, and it can be a curse and a blessing because we talk about that quite often here in Frankfort, especially when it comes to retail. There's so many opportunities around us. But we also have some great mom and pop opportunities here in locally in Clinton County. There's also opportunity for being able to live, work, and play in Clinton County. And let's focus on living right now. The market really has changed a lot in the last couple of 3 years. And you would say right now that it's certainly a seller's market. Is
yes.
that right?
Yes, it's a seller's market.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean in real estate terms?
Well, it's basically a supply and demand issue. The supply is low and the demand is high. So when you have that, whoever has the properties are going to be able to get premium price out of them. And so that means it's a seller's market.
So when you talk about premium properties, what is the property that everybody wants? What's that magic bullet for success when it comes to closing a deal?
Well, everybody would like to have, I say everybody, but I guess our most common wishes mm-hmm. from everyone is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house with a garage. And it's not always possible to get that. And that's not always what the client wants, especially if they're looking towards like a first-time home buyer, just somebody that's just beginning. And they can get a lot better deal if they're not asking for what is very popular right now.
Mm. So when you think about that, especially in our county, Clinton County, and comparing that to maybe the other counties around in our region, that's something that is a shortfall right now as far as those particular type of homes. Because I hear all of our real estate folks, when I talk to them on meetings or out and about on the streets, it seems like that is the shortage.
It is. It is a shortage. And I wish I had a magic wand and mm-hmm. I could make all these 3-bedroom, 2-bath houses appear because I would be everybody's best friend.
Right, right, right. So tell me, when a person is engaging you another E that we talk about here on the show all the time is engagement. When someone decides that, you know, they want to meet with you to talk about their real estate needs, how does that go? I mean, what can people expect from working with Sharna Virtue, with Berkshire Hathaway, and talking to them about their next home?
Well, the first thing I have to find out is basically the basics about it, what they need in a home, what they can afford in the home, and where they want to be. And basically, you're looking at first-time home buyers, you're looking at somebody that needs to move up because their family is expanding, or you're looking at somebody that needs to downsize. So once you get that criteria as to what the needs are, then you can start moving in the right direction and looking for the right piece of property.
So when so going back to the E's, there's a lot of education involved when it comes to real estate, because you talk about a first-time home buyer, they may not know the ins and outs. They may not know the financing, all of the little things that are behind. Because I know when we bought our first home, I was completely ignorant, and unfortunately, life had to teach me some lessons. Mm-hmm. And you try to avoid that with people because you're trying to educate them. You're trying to give them as much information as possible, not only about the home, but the process.
Well, when I'm working with a client, I like to make everything as seamless as possible. It's a stressful time to buy and sell a piece of real estate. It's one of the largest purchases that we make in a lifetime. And I want everybody to understand that I want them to take their time. I don't ever want them to be ashamed of the fact that they have 100 questions. Or if they ask me a question and I don't have the answer, I can surely find a way to get the answer. I do try to find out what their needs are and then point them in the right direction, excuse me, for their financing and to find out what their limits are and to educate them as to what I think would be limits. And by limits, I mean, can you afford a $100,000 house or a $200,000 house? And when you're purchasing a $100,000 house, you can't expect that you're going to have the same thing as a $200,000 house.
So meet the expectation or manage expectations.
Right, right. It's very important. And if you think about how many times you do this in a lifetime, maybe three. You're going to buy a home, your first home. You're going to upgrade to a bigger home when your family starts expanding. And then when your family is starting to, you know, everybody's starting to move away and it's just you or you and your spouse, then you want to downsize. So that's basically three times that you do this in your lifetime. And it changes every time you do it. The rules change, financing changes, the market changes, and that's what I'm here for.
Yeah,
I'm here to make it easier and seamless.
Real estate specialists have had to change their mindsets over the years, because back in the day, I think it was you get a home, you get it listed, you get a phone call, we would like to see a home, you walk through the home, maybe you might even just say, hey, here's the key, go through the home, give me a call if you like it or not. It's a lot more detailed today, because you almost have to hold the hand of the potential buyer or even the seller because of all of the changes in banking and the changes and especially what happened over the bubble bursting back many years ago, changed the mortgage, I think the mortgage industry drastically.
Yes,
right?
It did. The lending industry on real estate changed dramatically, and my opinion is it didn't make it much easier, although they were trying to do that. They were also trying to take the benefit of people trying to scam other people. And what I mean by that is they want the appraisers to be honest and be able to do their job correctly, so they're giving them better criteria as to what they can do. And the lenders are doing the same thing. They're giving them specifics, and those are sometimes hard to understand. And when I say they, I mean the government. They're trying to take the fraud out of the real estate and to help protect the consumer. So if you find a home that you really like and you're going to your lender and you're not understanding what's going on, that's what I'm there for, to tell you exactly how the process is supposed to go and which direction it goes.
So I want to just kind of take a moment to go through a scenario. So we've got a couple that's looking to buy a new home. It's very intimidating because you've got all of these different apps now. You've got Realtor.com, you've got Zillow, and you've got websites that are, and people are looking at, and I'm sure your real estate, through your real estate company, you have your own website and your own apps, but you also have to deal with all these other pieces. So there's multiple areas that people could be looking for homes, especially online. So they go and they drive through and they find that this is really nice, but the process, wow, it's like you said, it's a pretty it's a pretty overwhelming and intimidating. Yes. So when you come to the table, you're that friendly smile, that patient person that's trying to walk them through step by step of what they need to do. And having a real estate agent also, I think, helps you. I know people say, well, there's commission involved and it may cost me more. But in the long run, it more than likely will save you money because you can help them maybe avoid some of the pitfalls they would be doing on their own.
Well, that's correct.
Especially when it comes to selling a home.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, this is being the largest purchase that you're probably going to make in a lifetime, and you're going to do it two or three times. And you wouldn't want to go into it blind. So you need to know some terminology, and you need somebody to help guide you. I try to give people the choices, tell them what's available and what kind of choices they're looking at and what ramifications it has with each one of those choices, and allow them to decide what they want and what they can live with. It is their home and it's their investment. But yes, a realtor is really going to be there to help you and guide you and show you the way so you can make the correct decisions for yourself and your family.
Hmm. And when you think about the stock that we have, the housing stock that we have in Clinton County, which is a little bit of a challenge right now because we have an older stock. But I want to talk a little bit about that in that regard, because you deal with every age group of the young people, young couple, young professional, single person, older person, middle-aged person. You kind of deal with the whole broad spectrum. Everyone's got different taste. Everyone's got a different idea of what they want. Do you ever come in a situation where someone really, they thought they knew what they wanted, and then at the end of the day, it's completely different than what they ended up buying?
Yeah. Every day. Okay. Every day. Somebody will call me up and say, I want to see this particular house, and I talk to them, and we go see the house, and we do a little bit more investigating as to what they really need and what they want and so forth. But I think the most important thing here is to give them choices. So if we go look at one house and all of a sudden I hear somebody saying, I'm not sure if I like this part or if I'm not sure I like that part, then all of a sudden everything changes. And you realize that they need to look at 3, 4, 5 different pieces of property to understand what it is that they really need and what it is that they really want.
Right. And assessing that with them so that they don't get into something, because your I think challenge is to make them happy. At the end of the day, you want them to be satisfied customers. And you genuinely want that. It's not just about getting the next sale or the next deal or the next close. It's you want to, I think that's part of what I like about when I talk to different real estate folks, is that there really is a desire to make sure it's kind of part of the DNA of a real estate person to at the end of the day, they want their customer to be pleased.
Well, you do. I mean, that's what it's all about. And for me, it's about having a client and visiting them and finding what their challenges are for them and giving them choices and trying to make sure that they are making correct choices and that they're very happy in the very end. And that's what you really want. You want somebody to be happy with their choice, and it may be their forever home, and a forever home might be 10 years or might be 20 years, but you have to live with that for quite a long time. And I want these people to be happy with their decision, and I want them to be able to come to me when they see me in the grocery store and still have fond memories of our time together.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because it's nothing worse than having a situation where you've been in a bad deal or a bad circumstance that takes place, and we've all been there, every one of us in our lifetime, whether it be in real estate or whatever career, that something's gone awry in some kind of a deal, and or someone's not been happy. And normally, I think real estate people are kind of people pleasers too. A lot of times,
like, oh, I think so. Yeah,
you're trying to please your customer, but you're trying to please everyone, and you genuinely want to do that. So, Sharna, how do folks get a hold of you? I mean, if you had someone listening today that's in the market, we definitely have a seller's market, but there's also, you know, and I don't want to paint this bleak picture, because homes are popping up all the time in Clinton County.
Yes.
And in the region, but how can folks get a hold of you to possibly sit down and help you or let you help them and educate them?
Well, they can Google my name and they can find out how to contact me online. They can call the office in Lafayette, Berkshire Hathaway, or they can call me directly. They can text me. They can email me.
Okay. And you can reach up here at the Iron Block in the co-working studio here in the Engagement Center in Frankfort at 62 North Main Street. And our phone number is 765-654-5507. You can leave a number for Sharna here, as she is one of the co-working folks here at the Iron Block. And how has that experience worked out for you?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It allows me to work in several different counties, and to be a little bit mobile, helping a very variety of people. Mm-hmm. And like you said, from the newlyweds, single people, middle-aged, and all the way up until the golden years.
Yeah.
So it allows me to be able to see a lot of different people.
Well, we enjoy seeing your smiling face from time to time. You come bopping in here usually 4 or 5 times a week. We always like seeing you, Sharna. Appreciate you taking some time with us on the E-Factor today to talk a little bit about real estate in Clinton County and what you do and what you can offer. Again, that's Sharna Virtue here at the Iron Block co-working studio, 62 North Main Street, 765-654-5507. Give us a call, and we'll be glad to get you in touch with Ms. Sharna Virtue. Sharna, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
It's been a pleasure talking to Sharna Virtue regarding real estate and housing in Clinton County. We're going to shift gears a little bit now and talk from educating you on real estate to entertainment in Clinton County, and particularly Frankfort, Indiana. We're just coming off the Hot Dog Festival, which is our largest festival in the county. And talking now with Kim Stevens, Frankfort Main Street Director, also the person who works with the Oktoberfest that's coming up. I imagine that in October. And it's hard to believe that we're already talking about Oktoberfest, and it's just around the corner. In fact, it's just over a month, Kim, coming up.
About 5 weeks from today.
Wow.
Or tomorrow.
Unbelievable. Saturday. Yeah, tomorrow. So October 13th. Tell us a little bit about Oktoberfest. I think this is the third year.
Yes. This is our third annual Oktoberfest, which we partner with the Frankfort JCs. And we have the celebration at the Veterans Park downtown on the square. Starts at 5 o'clock in the evening. It goes till 10 o'clock. We offer food, fun, and obviously beer.
Yeah, beer. And that in the last couple of years, let's talk a little bit about those. The 3 year was the inaugural event, and very, very successful. A lot of folks coming out.
Absolutely. We sold over 500 pre-sale tickets the first year. Last year, we got pretty close to that. We kind of ran into fall events with the schools, so the fall break.
So okay. Sorry for the interruption there. We had a little bit of break in the recorder, but we're back. So you're saying that 500 the first year, and then we went to almost 400 the second year as far as pre-sale tickets. Of course, it was around fall break. That's the reason it's been moved up earlier.
Actually, we want to stick with the second Saturday in October.
Okay.
So that people can get used to that and just put it on their calendar. So.
I know. There's a lot of Oktoberfest in the region and a lot of different places. They normally do those later in the month. So this may be catching people a little bit earlier and maybe get them on the beer tour.
That's what we're hoping.
I guess if that's a good terminology to use. And speaking of beer, we're very fortunate this year to have a microbrewery, a regional microbrewery that's going to be coming up. And we're excited about the opportunity of them being here in Frankfort as well.
Exactly. And I just spoke with them today. They are going to be providing us with our craft beer for the Oktoberfest. So, you know, I know we're going to have an Oktoberfest beer, an IPA, and a blonde or Kolsch. I'm not sure if I'm saying that word right. I'm not a beer connoisseur, so I don't have a clue.
Well, I can understand that. I'm not either. But the Backstep Brewery, those are the folks that are going to be the microbrewery that's going to be supplying all of the libation for the Oktoberfest this year. They do a great job. They're great guys. We've been able to work with them the last several months, and we're really excited about the future and the opportunity here in Frankfort. But you know, what can people expect beyond the beer? You're going to have some brats. I mean, there's food, but what are some other things that folks can expect in the Oktoberfest coming up October 13th?
Well, we will also have wine. We'll have food from our local food establishments here in the downtown. And so you can come down and taste some great taste of Clinton County foods. And we will have live music. There will be a band that will be entertaining us. And so it'll start at 5 o'clock and go till 10.
Was it last year the polka band?
No, the year before. The first year.
Okay, mm-hmm. The first year was the polka band. They were a lot of fun. So, but we'll have live music so people can come down and dance. We always have one of our favorite locals, Haji, likes to get out and dance, cut a rug. So I'm sure Haji will be up here. But you know, that's the great thing about small town festivals and community festivals, because you know the personalities that are in the area. Then they come in and they enjoy themselves, they have fun, they get to meet new people, we get to know new people. It's just a great experience when you have that opportunity.
It is a great experience. We do have some games as well that we do, and you know, we have some pretty competitive men and women here when it comes to the Steinhoist. Last year I believe the person went almost 26 minutes, I think, holding the beer stein up. And believe me, he wasn't happy about losing the second place gentleman and wanted to do it again. And so I just told him he had to come back this year.
Because I think the first year it was only like 9 minutes or something like that. It wasn't very long.
It wasn't long.
It wasn't very long. Mm-hmm. I mean, people just finally kind of gave. I mean, it was because I think I helped with that first year, and I was pretty surprised at that, but you're telling 26 minutes. Okay, so there's a record to break. Kind of like the hot dog festival, the hot dog eating contest came back to the hot dog festival. That was a lot of fun.
Exactly, and that was 13 hot dogs, so
unbelievable.
You know, we'll make sure that somebody can hold the stein for 26 minutes. You might want to start working out right now.
Yeah, I've got to get my muscles in shape for that. So so beer, food, and music, a lot of fun. That's going to be 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock downtown Frankfort, Indiana, over by Veterans Park, and that is on the corner of Main Street and Washington, correct?
Yeah.
And so it's just going to be another event brought to you by the Frankfort Main Street. Of course, there's another big event that happens in October, and that's Trick or Treat on the Square.
Trick or Treat on the Square, October 31st from 5:30 to 7. We normally have about 4,500 kids that participate, and so we would invite any organization, church, or business in Clinton County that would like to come out and help us pass out some candy. That would be great.
Well, we're always very fortunate to have great business support there. I mean,
absolutely.
Our local businesses come and you know, get all the folks downtown. Our local businesses in the square. We get the police, the fire department. I mean, there's so many people that really make that happen, and it's such a cool event because I know often I'm getting ready to leave the office, and I'm driving back and getting ready for our grandkids all to come over and come downtown, and it's just a line of people.
It's nonstop for an hour and a half.
They keep coming, and you're thinking, wow. I think maybe that's what we should do. If we give out free candy to all events, we might be able to get a lot more people.
We might. We absolutely might.
Maybe that's something we should work
free
with.
Free candy, yeah. Free beer, you know.
We get with Zachary's. Yeah, I think that would be a big help. So other things happening after October, we go right into the holiday Festival of Lights, and all that will be happening on starting on Thanksgiving?
Actually, the lights start on Thanksgiving, and then we have our
Christmas parade
coming up December 1st, and that starts at 3 o'clock, and then that just kind of kicks off our Christmas season. Santa will be in his house on December 1st after the Christmas parade, and our Main Street Express will continue.
Which is new this year. I mean,
we have a brand new trailer. So we're excited about that.
And it's heated.
So it may not be like, sitting in your living room with a cup of hot chocolate. Yeah. But it will be warmer and it's a lot more airtight, so that you don't have wind coming underneath the seats. So we're very excited about it. A lot of fun.
So not only folks being able to come to the Santa Express and see Santa Claus that day, but being able to be a part of going, because that Santa Express, not just you're going to be with Santa, you're going to the lights. You're taking folks to the TPA park.
And it's about a 30-minute tour from downtown through the TPA park lights, which is more than a million lights that the TPA park has worked very hard to put up, and I'm sure that they're starting that if they have not already. I'm sure within the next week or so they will be doing that. But a lot of hard work goes into it, but it's a fun ride. We have a lot of people that have started a family tradition with taking this train ride every year. So we're excited to see them back. And
people from all over.
Yeah, we carry about close to 700 people a year.
Wow. Wow. And that's just a drop in the bucket to the people that actually come and see the lights.
Absolutely. I mean,
over 100,000 folks last year coming to see the lights. So it's an amazing, the lights are truly a great spectacle, folks. The TPA park personnel under the direction of Travis Sheets, who actually started the light program when he was here 25 years ago. And it's amazing how that has grown over the years, and it continues to grow. And if you really want to have a spectacular light display and a visit to Frankfort and get some good hot chocolate and maybe some soup or whatever out in the concession stands out in the TPA park, stop by downtown first and hit the Santa Express, because that's the all-in. You're going to see everything that
way. Yes, you do, and you don't have to worry about the vehicle in front of you. You get to enjoy your kids and grandkids as they are wowed by the lights, and then when you come back, you get a free cup of hot chocolate and cookies.
All right, so. And it's always good, and I believe you, that's what I look forward to every year, the hot chocolate and cookies. You can't beat it. Well, Oktoberfest coming up October 13th, and then you got Trick or Treat on the Square, which is Halloween night, October 31st, and then starting Thanksgiving evening, all the lights are lit up at the park, and then December 1st is the Christmas parade downtown, which then opens up Santa Express for the weekends to follow throughout the holidays.
Exactly.
A lot of great stuff happening with Main Street. Thank you, Kim. Appreciate all the things that you do. Main Street Director Kim Stevens talking a little bit today about what's going on in downtown Frankfort. Well, we always appreciate you joining us on the E-Factor. Remember, the E-Factor is brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development. And we share with you the E-Factor each and every weekend because we want you to know about the E-tributes of our community, the engagement, the entrepreneurialism, the education, the entertainment, all those things that make a community, and especially empowerment and encouragement, which, by the way, it's my time to always remind you that, you know what, you might be the encouragement or the empowerment in someone else's life. You might be the E-factor in someone's life. You may be the hope in someone's life. Someone out there needs a little encouragement. Maybe that needs to come from you. So certainly ask that you think about that the next time you're out and about and you're involved with dialogue with someone. Make sure you smile and make sure you pass on some good encouragement. Make sure you're part of the solution and not the problem, part of an attribute of a community and not something that's a detriment to the community. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the E-Factor. We appreciate you again listening. Have a great new week as it comes up here shortly, and know that there are a lot of things happening in Clinton County. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much.